All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, SportsMappers? Welcome to the fray. Hey, it's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday in the big city. Barry's out, so Cody Stutes is in. We appreciate him spending some time with us both today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we're at Prime Social. Got nothing to do on a Friday. Head on over to Prime Social. Head up Westheimer, heading towards Beltway 8 and right past Voss. You're going to stumble upon the Prime Social. It is the premier place to play poker in the Houston area, and we're going to be there broadcasting all afternoon along with the Blitz. So stop by and see us then, and of course listen to us now. SportsMap 94.1 joining the fray. If The Usual Suspects were part of your day and you were listening on ESPN 97.5 and you're a mapper and you missed out, just go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, catch up on the hours that you miss, and while you're there, download the ESPN 975 app. That therefore you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and you never have an issue with wanting or needing to hear the show.
And you don't have to sort through a bunch of other radio stations to find it. It's just ESPN 97.5 right there on the app.
Hmm. I don't know about the cardiovascular terminology, but sounds like a hearty way to avoid issues, if you know what I mean.
Well played.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Can I tell you about something that happened to me that just...
You put ketchup on meatloaf.
No, that's you.
No, ketchup has to go on meatloaf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
People put ketchup on meatloaf?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Well, it's a slender. Who doesn't? Look at Cody doing granada.
No, I didn't mean to do that, but I was so shocked
that
he didn't
be afraid of the Godfather.
I was so shocked that he didn't think ketchup belonged on meatloaf.
I don't eat meatloaf that much, but I wouldn't put ketchup on it if I do. I rarely do.
I've told you this before. It's a Midwest thing. That's a big, big yes.
Okay.
Yep. I lean more. I mean, I know that there's meatloafs out there that are made with like a mushroom gravy usually sometimes, but I lean more on the ketchup meatloaf side. I think it tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a big ketchup guy too, Cody.
Oh,
it's safe
yeah.
to say.
Big ketchup.
Are you putting it on tacos?
No.
Okay.
Ketchup
on the dashboard lights? No. Oh, that's a different meatloaf. Never mind. See what it did there?
You came at me like a bat out of hell on that one.
Sure did. Got that one too. And Nick didn't get that one enough to dong
either
one of
us. I was going to dong you, but I'll let you have your moment.
I appreciate that. It's nice that with Barry out, I get a moment every now and then to have my dad jokes fly by the radar. That always helps. So what were you going to... You were going to
so
get...
So I embarrassed the ever-living you-know-what out of myself to my girlfriend's dad.
Okay.
And here's how I did this. So you're familiar with Jake Asman, works over SB Nation Radio.
Who isn't?
Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, just active guy, nice guy, a lot of energy. He was getting ready to
Not a lot of manners sometimes, but yeah.
He was getting ready to do a show today. And he was telling me last night, he texted me last night. He goes, "Hey, look who I booked for the show." And I said, "Who?" And he sent me a picture. And it said, Simpson, OJ. And then it had a phone number. And OJ just did media in Buffalo. He just did a radio show in Buffalo.
Right.
Okay. And so Asman goes, "Hey, man, I got him. It's going to be huge. It's at this time going to be a killer interview." And I was like, "Ha ha, real funny, punny stuff, whatever." Mm-hmm. And I guess Asman didn't know this about me. The OJ Simpson trial, like, I love that stuff. Like, the FX show was great. The OJ Made in America thing, watched every bit of it.
Really?
I've gone and rewatched the trial when they've aired it, like on like ID or
so
whatever.
So you're on the juice.
Oh, yeah. I think that's like one of the most interesting things that's ever happened in the history of America. Like, I think it's fantastic. So I'm in on this. I'm like, "Dude, that's going to be great." I go, "What's he pushing?" He goes, "He's promoting KitchenAid knives." And I'm just like, "Okay, weird deal for OJ to do knives, but it's like, you know, it's kitchen knives, so I get it. Yada, yada." So what Asman doesn't know is on occasion the girlfriend's dad works with OJ's current lawyer, current attorney.
Okay.
So I tell him, I go, "Hey, OJ's doing a radio interview tomorrow." I go, "I think it's kind of weird though because he's pushing KitchenAid knives." Well, when he hears that, he hits up his law partner and says, hey, did you know about your client doing this? So I get, you know, so I hit Asman up this morning. I'm like, well, what are you going to ask him? He's like, oh, I'm going to ask him who was harder to kill. Ha ha. And I was just like, okay, no, seriously. Like, what are you going to ask him? Cause like the juice has got some opinions, you know, and you could get some good stuff out of him. And it goes on. And I go, dude, are you screwing with me? Do you not actually have OJ? He goes, no. He goes, you didn't get that? I go, you sent me a picture with his number. Like, I thought you had OJ on your show. He goes, no, I was screwing with you the whole time. I was like, I can't even imagine how weirded out OJ is to think that he had a radio interview booked. Because through the telephone line, the girlfriend's dad is like, hey, your client's supposed to be doing a radio thing.
Oh, you're hearing it being conveyed while you're still on the phone?
So, no. Through, you know, like the chain. Because when I hear that OJ's going to do the radio interview, I hit up the girlfriend's dad because he knows OJ's attorney. And so I'm like, dude, you've totally made me look like a bumbling idiot. I was like, I thought you were serious. Like, I've been telling this.
So at this point, are you more mad or less mad than getting shorted on the sauce at the chicken place?
I was more mad. I was more mad because, one, I'm not getting an OJ interview now. So I lost out on that because I think OJ's a fascinating element of sports history in America.
Yes.
Two, I've made myself look like a total idiot with the girlfriend's dad.
So what you should do is ask for her hand in marriage as soon as possible because you might get extra consideration. Like, well,
oh, I might get like the sympathy vote. I just texted him. I go, there's no OJ interview. It was a prank. I got pranked. Apologies.
Oh,
nothing.
Boy. Thanksgiving's coming up. You guys all getting together?
No, they're going out of town.
Oh, you lucked out on that one because that would have been messy.
That'd have been awkward in front of the family. Hey, Cody, tell me about the time you got pranked with a fake OJ interview, and I told my client.
So you're going to bust Asman's ass in the hallway? Or?
Yeah, I mean, he owes me something. Because, I mean, I just hope that.
I say you hit him with a chicken wing. I say he, you know, because he moves like on high speed through these hallways.
Yeah.
Just when he's at the most relaxed and least expectant. I say you just bow up.
Just check him right into the wall.
He's about elbow height anyway. Just drill him. Rattle the cage.
That sounds like a Jake Asman story, though.
Should I have caught?
How does a guy with no personality try and pull one over on you and it works?
He's got a personality.
Oh, my God. I mean, he goes to the Quick Mart on a consistent basis trying to find his personality on the back of a milk carton.
For the mean to the guy.
And the dude has no manners whatsoever. Yesterday, Barry wasn't there yet. Nick and I were diligently working in our pre-production meeting on what we were going to do for the show. In a studio with the door shut, with no windows to find out who was doing what. And the door goes flying straight open.
And he closes the door behind him.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Just checking out to see what you guys are going. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do? I go, do you realize we're having a meeting here? And Nick goes, you know, we kind of have production meetings so that we do radio shows. He goes, yeah, okay, cool. So what's going on? What's going up? What's up? I'm like, he's not kidding.
Disaster, man. Absolute disaster is Jake Asman. Can't get enough of Jake Asman.
Man. I mean, he interrupts more than Tyler.
And Tyler just did it again. Now we're taking shots at Tyler Scott.
He just did it again. See, and now he gets all defensive. He's about as sensitive as, geez, DJ Swearinger. I don't know.
So what I imagine happened is,
screw how it happened. Go get him back.
No, but I'm saying I'm going to get him back. Don't worry. But what I'm saying is, like, I just imagine that my girlfriend's dad talked to his partner in Vegas, who's OJ's lawyer, and says, hey, do you know he's doing an interview? No, I didn't know he's doing an interview. You know he's pushing KitchenAid knives? And not the best thing, but maybe, okay. And then I imagine that the lawyer talked to OJ and was like, OJ, are you doing this? And OJ was probably like, no, but how can I get that deal?
Because I still got money to – I got to pay off people. He's still paying off. That's why with all the autograph stuff
– oh, yeah.
He's still got to pay the Goldmans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He still owes
– millions.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, though. He was like the man. Like, he was like the darling analyst.
Oh, dude. He's in airplane movies. He's in Hertz commercials. Like you mentioned, he's doing national football games.
Was he good? was like it wasn't just like, okay, OJ, he was a great football player, and then he was like in the booth, but
he
like
was personable.
Was he Romo or was he Witten?
Oh, he was. I don't care. It wasn't even about that. His persona
was just
his image.
Was good.
Was so good, squeaky clean, and likable from society's perspective, in the media, whether it be sports related, movies, TV, commercials, endorsements, and because of his NFL career, he had it all. And oh boy, by the way, Nicole's pretty hot. He had it all going for him. Then Isotoner came in. Jeez. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We're in hour number three of the big show. If you'd like to join, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number, or you can hit us up via Twitter, where it's at @Cody_Stutes. It's at @TheProducerNick, and it's at @PacManJoel with the K. It's the usual suspects, and it's a Thursday on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm breaking my real bad. I'm breaking my real bad. I'm so bored of losing right now.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you're just joining the show, welcome back. Sports mappers, ESPNers, streamers, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. And Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack, as well as Nick Sciarra. Nick is sitting there as we speak, Googling different foods to put ketchup on.
No, I'm about to tweet out our new website.
Innovation Map?
Innovation Map.
Okay.
Trying to give it some love.
You going to get in some B&B?
Sure, why not?
That's not burgers and biscuits, brother. It's business to business. Just letting you know.
I'm all about it.
All right.
Well, when glad you explained it, because I didn't know.
Well, there you go.
I didn't want to say anything.
Well, it's just like me asking you guys about Moneyline. I'm not a gambler. So I appreciate you guys explaining it. You know what? It'll be for the listeners to tear apart, because that's what they do on a consistent basis. So I do want to promote the fact that, too, on sportsmap.com, when you're done with Innovation Map, Nick, sportsmap.com, we do have a video that just popped up that they just released on the Bill Belichick coaching tree and who you think might be the weakest link in that bunch.
Ooh.
The shortest branch. The most dangerous limb.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
And we can discuss it tomorrow.
Not naked, please.
Well, the hit counts the same way if I'm clothed or not.
Yes, but it would be very disturbing if you then brought it up on the show tomorrow and that we found that out.
Well, I don't understand why I have to be clothed to watch it. That's not a requirement.
Because it's creepy if you're not.
No, it's only creepy if I'm...
That's what I'm going to say. Well, but at the same time, isn't it like a step-by-step process? You're well on your way, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't do that in the nude.
Like, if Nick was on Bang Bus, it would be appropriate. But if he's not, then he needs to be clothed.
I would never be on Bang Bus.
And yeah, if I'm watching...
Does that look like a guy that pays for pornography? Yeah,
absolutely not.
That guy goes to
you
the free website.
You got to pay for the Bang Bus?
Oh, yeah. Now you got to pay to get the most
the
recent
premium,
stuff.
The premium stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, but...
The 4K.
If you wait long enough...
Or 4Play.
If you wait long enough, it comes around to the free sites.
Oh, does it? How do you know?
How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know? How do you think I know? Nick told me, obviously.
Because nice if things
there,
go
sir.
Wrong with the girlfriend,
nice move.
It isn't going to get in the way of your day, so to speak.
Don't put that on me.
Okay. Well, I don't want you putting that on me either.
I'm not.
So I'm just letting you know. That's why I'm saying watch my videos clothed.
That is not what I would watch.
If Nick did a video, I'd watch it clothed.
That is not the type of video I would watch while doing that.
You're redder than your shirt right now.
I'm just saying... I don't watch your videos and do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's a blessing.
But if I want to, like, what if I just got out of the shower and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and watch
don't
that
watch
Joel
it
video.
Naked. Just do all of us a favor. Just don't.
What if I have the towel around my waist?
I don't want to know.
Oh, man.
The biggest thing is I don't want to know.
Speaking of big
it's a hell of a towel. Okay. Yeah, that's a hell of a towel. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
I do prefer beach towels to regular towels.
I bet you do. And I bet you they don't. So there's that. Anyway, check out the video on sportsmap.com. I did a video on the weakest link on the Belichick coaching tree with some stats to back it up. You guys should have some fun with that. And while you're at it, just peruse throughout all of Sportsmap and sportsmap.com, because there is tons of stuff and contributions from Lance and Charlie and Fred and AJ with fantasy football rankings. Lots of great stuff on there, so check that out on the daily, if you would, please, because we all work very hard on that site. Quickly, from a Major League Baseball perspective, the Cy Young Awards were given out last night. Jacob DeGrom, who I did predict, won the Cy Young with a 10-win season, but a 1.71 earned run average from the New York Mets. And Justin Verlander, close but no cigar, comes up second in the AL as Mr. Snell in Tampa took home a well-deserved Cy Young there. I did hear Charlie on the way in, and the one thing that I do have a problem with in terms of the balloting for Cy Young, you go 1 through 5. Someone left Justin Verlander completely off their ballot. That person should have his ballot revoked for next year.
Dumb.
Garrett Cole was 5th in the Cy Young balloting, right? But I don't, you know, you look at Verlander, it's obviously not going to be the difference between first and second, but how do you leave a guy that was that dominant statistically off your ballot completely? You're telling me that you felt that there were 5 pitchers in the American League better than Justin Verlander a year ago. You're an idiot. You don't deserve to vote anymore.
Baseball writers are the absolute biggest. Look at me, how I voted. Got to go against the wave. Got to be contrarian. And they do it with everything. They do it with everything. Cy Young, MVP, Hall of Fame, Rookie of the Year. All that. Baseball writers are just, like, it's slowly turning over because some of them are just retiring, getting out of it. And baseball's done a good job of highlighting and promoting some of those younger guys. But it just so many, like, head scratching, like, why do you still vote type stuff? Like, the guy that didn't vote for DeGrom as the number one, he voted for Scherzer. He works in San Diego. Like,
see, that's the kind of stuff that annoys the hell out. It's just ridiculous. And that's why I said, one thing when you vote to have the criteria, but the other thing is it should be transparent. And I think the NBA started doing that, where you can figure out who the ass clown in the room was who voted in such a bizarre way. I remember a couple of years ago when James Harden, I think it was the Kardashian year, when he just completely fell flat on his face, which is the only time in the last 4 or 5 years he's done so. But with all that being said, he got one vote for all NBA, either third team or second team, and they traced it back to Bill Worrell. And Bill was taking some heat.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, as the head of the broadcasting department at the time, my phone was lighting up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not giving you any information on Bill to reach him, and I'm sure he's not doing interviews on the subject. But yeah, I mean, but that's the reason why you do it. You need to take it seriously. It's like the players who want to be involved in their input as being a part of All-Star or awards or things like that, but then you get the guys in the locker room and they're yucking it up and going, hey, we're going to vote for the big white guy on the end of the Rockets bench. What's his name? Hartenstein. We're going to put him on the ballot. You're just being an idiot. Take it serious or don't do it.
And that my thing, too, is like, if you truly believe that, you're a human being that believes that Verlander was one of the five best American League pitchers, tell me why. Change my mind. Give me an explanation. Break it down. Bring something to the conversation other than, that's how I voted.
And it's obvious you don't watch enough baseball. That's the biggest problem you have with the pro football writers, because you hear about the fact that they have to go into a ballroom and people have to lobby for people that they think should be up for and elected into the Hall of Fame. And in the Terrell Owens case, it's like this big debate. And it's like tastes great versus less filling in the middle of a room where a bunch of old, dilapidated football writers are going to battle each other and someone has to speak. Horse bleep. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. You may hate Terrell Owens as a person, off the field, his antics, all the things he's said and done in his career, but statistically on the field, the dude should be in, end of story. What are you going to argue with me about? Because he rubbed people the wrong way? Guess what? He rubbed them the right way when he was wearing your team's uniform scoring touchdowns if you were in San Francisco or Philadelphia or wherever he happened to play. It's annoying to me. that John McClane has to go and say about the wars that go on in this room because people have to battle for a guy who's the second statistically best receiver in the history of the game behind the greatest of all time and Jerry Rice? Stop it. It annoys me.
Award season. Why, also, why do we have baseball award season at the end of, like, when baseball's way, way over?
I mean,
you can't even run these guys out there for a press conference.
And it's not for an award show. Like, it pisses me off about the NBA that you got to wait, but at least it's a full award show and everybody's present and they think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's something to watch in the summertime, right?
The NFL has it that the Super Bowl weekend or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right. The midweek leading into or the, right at the end of the week, the Saturday night before the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Right.
Great placement. I get it. And it's a show and it's fantastic. Here you get two a night. And they've built it up from Rookie of the Year to Manager of the Year to Cy Young, and now tonight we'll get Most Valuable Player.
Which will be Christian Yelich and then Mookie Betts.
I agree completely. But at the same time, why are we doing it in the middle of football season when no one and the Hot Stove League, which is as ice cold as it was in Houston the last 2 days, and no one gives a rat's ass when you could get some play out of it in the playoffs, or you get some playoff, you know, play out of it right after the playoffs, but it's too late.
They should announce it on the last day of the season. Because if it's not like...
It truly is a regular season award, I don't disagree.
I get, like, back in the day when people had to, like, write it on a piece of paper and mail it and hope the Pony Express got it to wherever it needed to go. But now you can just call them and say, hey, Mac, who you voting for? Oh, I'm voting for Mookie and I'm voting for Ian Snell. Okay, great. We're going to announce it tomorrow. All right, cool. Is Mookie going to be at the press conference if he wins? Yeah. All right, well, I'll be in Boston to ask him a question. Thanks. Like, that's it. That's all you have to do. Last day of the season. It'd be real simple, real easy.
And with the internet.
And I would actually care then.
By the way, just like you can reach the show, text message, phone call, social media. One of those three ways, you can make a vote real easy.
Yep.
And you can verify it, and we can get this done in short time. Now, if you want a baseball show, put it on MLB Network. No one will watch. All right. We've got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the final 30 minutes. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final half hour of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. Give you a little bit of a brief, kind of a catch-up session. Cheat notes, Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack today and tomorrow. Barry's in El Paso doing some comedy. Nick is here, and he has sampled Cherry Coke Zero, and the verdict is in, Nick, and survey says.
I have to get a regular cola, man. I drank half of it. I really did. But I had to go back to a regular Coke.
Didn't
man.
Like
I'm
it.
Sorry. Can't do it.
Cody says bring that back in there. He'll finish it.
No.
And he won't pour it in the mug.
No.
And with that, we're going to play a little game show, too, because Le'Veon Bell, as we all know, yesterday the deadline came and went, which means Le'Veon Bell will not play for anybody the rest of the season, and it looks like he will be a free agent going into next season, barring some unforeseen stupidity by the Steelers. So we talked about the fact that yesterday players raided his locker. Bud Dupree was helping himself to Jordan 11 Concord cleats and all kinds of goodies.
Were you thumbs up or thumbs down on that?
I think that's a bad look. And I was actually at the Starbucks with two of my buddies that are officers. And I was like, so with the Le'Veon Bell thing, there's actually video and a confession that dudes were picking in his locker. He's like, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, if he wants to push it, it's right there.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So that could be the final chapter, so to speak. But I guess evidently now the Steelers came in today and they cleared out the locker. The other weird things about this story is Coach Mike Tomlin said he reached out via Twitter, via text message and phone call on numerous occasions, including leading up to the deadline, and was stoned by Le'Veon Bell. Just completely ignored all those. Then Roethlisberger came out right after that, and Ben said, did the same thing. Called, texted, he never responded. So it's pretty safe to say that we're heading to divorce court.
Yes.
And the what's our guy on the commercial, Nick? When your wife change your life, it's time to move on. The Cordell and Cordell law firm.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was trying to remember it, too. I couldn't remember.
So Cordell and Cordell will be involved in Steelers and Le'Veon Bell because the wife in your life isn't going to get it done, and it's time to move on.
Well, the guy wanted to get paid, and obviously, what was Ben Roethlisberger or the head coach going to do
for
him?
Hey, we need you. Hey, yeah. We know that you might be a little bit worried about how the locker room is going to perceive you, but we need you to come back.
Do they need him?
Not long term, but for this year, Connor got a concussion last week. He's in protocol.
With the injury.
Could have used him. Yeah. And the team, he could have probably sold him on, hey, the team would have appreciated if you come back. But in the meantime, even with Cordell and Cordell, you are going to lose in the area of $14.5 million that you never will be able to recoup. Without a law firm like Cordell and Cordell, your wife could ruin your life. Dude, I just want to let you know.
Nobody getting him that $14 million back.
He ain't getting it back. I don't care. And I said this, and some of you yahoos out there were like, oh, he's going to sign right away. He's going to be a stud. No, he's not. And he hasn't. Your body gets conditioned to the beating that you take on a week-to-week basis. And you take a full year off, and things change. Lance will tell you that. And teams aren't going to be so sure because of also the fact that they're not sure how much he loves the game. Based on the tweets he sent out, what is it, in 2015, about, you know, it, all the things, but if you miss time and you don't love the game, if you walk away from your team, if you don't love the game, well, if I'm a team that's looking at signing him now, I'm not sure he loves the game. And so I'm going to do an incentive-based contract. I'm not going to do it the long, long term he's looking for, maybe in the maximum years of 3 to 4. But you're going to get a base salary probably in the fair range of 11 to 12. And if you want to get to that 15, 16, 17 range, it's going to be all incentive-based based on playing in every game, productivity, sure, all those other things. So I don't think that he helped himself in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all.
But with that said, let's play the number one highest popularity game in the land. I ask you guys, should we play a game show? And you said, what should we do? And I said, this is what we're going to do.
All right.
We're going to play a game. It's called, I have an article in front of me that says the 10 most likely destinations for Le'Veon Bell next year. Now, the law firm of Cordell & Cordell has verified that Nick and Cody have not read the article. If you're lying,
I have not.
You're going to look like a superstar. Not. You are the sneakiest little Googling Siri thing in the world, but fine.
I didn't Google anything.
All right. So with that being said, why don't you guys go back and forth and take some cracks at who you think the 10 teams are? Because at least one of them right off the top surprised the hell out of me. I can let you know that.
You want to roll first, Nick?
I'll give you one team first, only because he mentioned it, and I've already said on this show that I don't really necessarily like the running backs on this team, but the Colts. Because he's already mentioned that team as a possible place he'd be willing to play for. And I'm not necessarily sold on the running backs.
They are on the list. Andrew Luck has shown he remains an elite quarterback. Frank Reich appears to have potential as a coach. They know that they don't have experience in the backfield, and they can offer him more money in 2009. No one can offer him more money than Indy.
Indy has $124.5 million in cap space next year.
Well, you didn't read the article because it says rounded up to 125. So I'll give you that for now. But you're on the clock, so go.
The New York Football Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets.
There's no doubt that they are on this list. They are up-and-coming franchise with their franchise quarterback in tow, if you believe in my man from USC and his ups and downs this year, Sam Darnold. They said they have a sense of swagger thanks to young players like Jamal Adams in the defensive secondary, and only the Colts have more cap space. And it's a big city, big market. Try and recoup some of that money via marketing opportunities. You are correct, sir. Nick, you're on the clock.
I would say, I'm going to leave it in the AFC South. I'm going to say the Texans.
Texans are on the list.
I don't know what the
Texans are on the list. I don't know that Lamar Miller has been less than productive, and he has a big contract.
And why not keep Le'Veon Bell as your starting running back and Blue?
That's a good point. If he goes, you've got a pretty good salary to use as a starter to put towards paying for Le'Veon Bell. And it says a lot of NFL players want to play with Deshaun Watson. This offense could use a more consistent and explosive backfield member than Lamar Miller. And let's not forget, I'm going to throw this in here, he is a great pass-catching back out of the backfield, which was part of the enamor with getting Lamar Miller to Houston. So that is a possibility, and they are on the list.
We've hit AFC-only teams so far. I will stay in the AFC.
Okay.
How about John Gruden and the future Las Vegas but current Oakland Raiders?
Bing! You are also correct. You get to play for Gruden if that appeals to you, and he surely would be more interesting to the coach than aging backfield members like Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. You get to be a part of an organization going to Las Vegas, and again, bing, marketing opportunities abound. That is also correct. Nick, you're on the clock. Go.
I was going to say the Raiders. My next team would have been the Packers. Count.
Nick, shocker, because I wouldn't have, based on the fact that we've talked about the emergence of Aaron Jones, but they too are on the list. From a personnel perspective, a small Wisconsin town might be a non-starter for Bell, but from a professional perspective, you walk into the Hall of Fame and stand a he'll walk into the Hall of Fame and stand a chance of picking up a few rings if he's paired with Aaron Rodgers for 4 or 5 years.
Interesting.
I had said that, Nick, if you remember, at the start of all of this, and said I think he's going there via trade this year or next year. But that was before I saw who Aaron Jones is. Now I'm not so sure they need him, but good call on your part.
All right, so we got 5 of the 10.
Ooh. I'm telling you, there's one team on this list that drives me nuts because I just don't get it, but go ahead.
Is it the Eagles?
It is not.
Are the Eagles on the list?
They are not.
Oh, man, I got the first loss.
You get an L, kid.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
The Eagles need him, though. Stay in state.
Can I tell you the one
they don't have any money, right off the bat
because we're getting close to it? But let me tell you the stinker that I don't believe in. The Atlanta Falcons.
What?
You have Coleman. You have Freeman. Granted, Freeman's a little dinged up. But why in the world do you need Le'Veon Bell? Now, they said because Tevin Coleman is ticketed for free agency and because of Freeman's health. There's no way, especially with a payroll that has Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and a young Calvin Ridley and all the weapons they have on the defense that they're paying. No way.
Yeah, they got to go get some defenders.
All right, here's the list. Falcons. Ravens.
Okay.
Okay. They've got the two-headed monster right now, kind of unknown names, Alex Collins and such in Baltimore, but they're saying that's a possibility in Baltimore. Then the Packers, the Texans, the Colts, the Miami Dolphins.
Ah, yes, of course.
Which makes a lot of sense. And it's Miami, and Adam Gase is a very good offensive mind. The Jets, the Raiders, the Steelers to re-sign him, which I just can't see happening.
That ain't happening.
And they said they could create their own version of Kamara and Ingram in New Orleans with Connor and Bell. If that was going to happen, it would have already happened. And the final one, which makes a ton of sense as well, San Francisco 49ers.
Ah, lots of money.
Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. Their running game, they had paid big money for McKinnon. He got hurt. He would fit right into a team that's up and coming in a great city as well.
I like the Ravens, and I felt like the other obvious one I left out would probably would have been the Dolphins. Yeah. That's probably a good spot and a need for Miami.
So there you go. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. So we'll continue to roll. Kyle, all right, tell you what. You're calling. You want to get on Le'Veon Bell right after the break. We'll get you in because we're not going to screw you, the listener. We want to make sure that you are a part of this show. So with that being said, we will make sure you are in. And if you want to get in as well, people, we are running a little bit short on time. We've got one segment after this. But if you do want to get into the show, 713-780-3776, where you can call or text. And better yet, even if you don't get us during the show, if you tweet us, we're all pretty darn good at being able to respond. With that being said, I want to tell you about the Houston Rockets before we head to break. Because the Rockets are about to start a 3-game homestand, and you should get out and get some tickets, because if you don't want to see great basketball, well, that's on you. But if you do want to see great basketball, it starts tonight. We already mentioned it. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets from Toyota Center. Tickets starting as low as $59 for a matchup this big, and the first 1,300 fans get a Rockets mouse pad courtesy of BBVA Compass. Then Saturday night, the Rockets play the Kings. In the past, you'd say, it's the Kings. Guess what? The Kings are a good young team playing good basketball, and it's kids' night at the Toyota Center presented by Ashley Furniture Home Store. That means that you can have a heck of a time with the whole family on a Saturday night, and of course, Wednesday of next week leading up to the Thanksgiving holiday, it's Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons taking on the Rockets. The Thanksgiving special presented by Rocket. 2 tickets, 2 hot dogs, 2 bottles of beer, soda, or water for one low price. Check all the deals out at Rockets.com, and that's your one-stop shop for everything Rockets, as the case may be anyways. But check out Rockets.com. Secure your tickets today. 3-game homestand starts tonight at Toyota Center. It's the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final segment. Usual Suspects sure do enjoy having you along for the ride, and you guys have been spirited, participatory, and we appreciate you via all forms, text, calls, and tweets. Hopefully, we've done a pretty good job of responding. Hopefully, none of the members of the Usual Suspects will be doing any of that after hours tonight on social media, if you know what I mean. So, with that being said...
I wore shorts just to avoid the controversy of what type of pants I was going to wear in Barry's stead.
Okay.
He's in El Paso.
You're not a big fan of the skinny jeans?
I'm staying all the way out of this. No, you're not baiting me. I'm staying.
I think you could rock some skinny
jeans. I'm in my stance. You're not drawing me off sides.
You could rock some skinny jeans. Joel told me.
In what portion of his life do you think he could fit skinny jeans? When he was an infant?
I've got fat thighs, so skinny jeans will never work for me.
What about like a modern
fit? You have shocked the world right now. No one out there believes you. No one.
They're thunderous.
No, sir.
Yes.
No, I don't believe it for a second.
It's true.
Nope. Mm-mm. And do you have any cute nicknames that go along with it?
No.
I'm not going to mention because I'm not going to get in trouble for the wondrous email. I mean, a nickname that Barry came up with yesterday. I'm not going to put that out there.
Don't do that.
I can't have Nick
enough
playing.
Of that.
I can't have Nick playing asteroids with the dump button. Okay, so before the break, we're talking a little bit about Le'Veon Bell, where he may end up next year. Kyle wants to get in here before we get out of here. Kyle, what's up?
Yeah, how y'all doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, I kind of disagree with what you're saying as far as him not being able to get signed. I think the dude's going to get signed as soon as he becomes available for signing. And I think I'm looking at the coach of the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is, like, so unique. Dude, he's got a running style that no back that's ever played has. And you see people trying to emulate that hesitation move he's got, they can't do it. I mean, the guy's a game changer. Understand what he did. I'm not saying that I agree with the way he did it, but, dude, I think he's going to get picked up, you know, as quick as he can be picked up. I really do.
Kyle, appreciate the call. Bottom line is no one said he's not going to get picked up. We just said he's never going to be able to make up the $14.5 million he lost by staying out this entire season.
And I understand the idea of I don't want to play under the franchise tag because I might get hurt, and then I'm just guaranteed the rest of that franchise tag, that's it, and then I never get to sign my big mega deal. So, like, I understand that, but even if he goes and signs the richest running back contract in history – he still left $14 million on the table this year. That is never going to get, you know, brought back up, because as much whatever dollar amount he gets in the offseason was the most he was going to get regardless.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like playing
he was
or
at
not
his absolute maximum ceiling high in terms of value.
Correct.
Going into the offseason this last year.
Correct.
Not coming up this last year.
So he couldn't necessarily raise it. So I understand from his point, okay, if my value's not going to get any higher, I'm not risking a year of my, you know, life in football for $14 million at the expense of potentially a $75 million contract, if that's what he's looking for or wants. So I understand that. But at the same time, you could have played. You could have got the $14 million. If you make it through not hurt, then you get the $14 million plus that big deal you were going to get.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing, and I called it the David West factor. When David West left $11 million on the table at the end of his career with the Pacers to go pursue a ring, and I said at the time, I hope the ring's worth it because it's going to cost you money you're never going to be able to recoup, and it's the same thing. Like you said, if you take a Bell contract where he was looking at, he wanted to get in the $15 to $17 million range. So because of everything that we said and everything I said previously about the fact that he's not going to get that kind of guaranteed money because he sat out for an entire year and incentive-wise, they're going to make him play because they don't know if he loves the game. Fact of the matter is, say he gets $17 a year. So you're only getting two and a half more than what the Steelers offered you for this year. And we always talk about the life expectancy of a running back being a productive running back is 6 to 8 years max, right? So even if he gets to the full 8 years, that contract is never going to make up that extra $2.5 million per year for those 3, 4, 5 years is never going to make up. You're still approaching $10 million after that. There's still $4.5 million you'll never recoup. It's just a bad, fact.
It's a bad business decision, no question. I don't understand why he did all that, but when you talk about if you're talking about pure numbers and that's basically what he's upset about, it doesn't make business sense to miss out on that 14.5 for 1 year, miss out a year in your career, and then again, you mentioned the running back life expectancy. Like, it just makes no sense. It's a bad business decision.
Do you keep your agent until the next deal is signed to see if he can make sure he follows through? Or do you fire his ass after talking to enough people that said, bro, you're a hell of a player. That wasn't a smart move.
At this point, I mean, do you need the – I mean, the agent's taking Le'Veon Bell's marching orders. At this point, how do I get the biggest deal? We got to sit out. Okay, well, I'll sit out.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you can ever, you know what? I don't know if he's never getting, unless you're an agent that has relationships with teams and goes, you got to help me on this one, man. You got to do me a solid and I'll do you one in the future. And even still, that's a lot of money to be doing solids on to try and recoup any of it.
If you're right and it is the incentive laden heavy deal and stuff like that, he's going to need the agent. But if it's just some dumb team,
right,
that
that's
pay
what I'm saying.
Money,
but you need, or you can go out and get a better agent that isn't going to screw you, that knows the idiosyncrasies of contracts to try and get you as much money as possible.
Yeah.
All right, before we go, friend of the show, so we got to get him in. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? I'll be quick. I was listening to the list. There's nowhere hell Le'Veon Bell is going in the AFC North, especially to play the Steelers twice. He is not going to be anywhere near the Ravens or the Browns or the Bengals.
That's a good point.
He just do not want to see those guys twice a year. Because you know, the first game they play, if he decides to go to one of those teams, they're going to be ready to tee off on him at every chance they get.
But that's the love of the game, Clarence. Guys. Thanks, Clarence. Appreciate the call. That's the love of the game. If he loves the game and he wants the challenge and like he wants to be DJ Swearinger, wants to get back at his former team, or Brett Favre when he got out of Green Bay, he didn't want to go to the Jets. He wanted to go to a team in the North so that he could take on that team two games a year to make sure that they knew what they blew. You'll find out what Le'Veon Bell's made of with that kind of decision, too.
That dude's going where the cash is. So whoever's ponying up the most, if some football league in China was going to pay him the most amount of money, he'd go there. He's going where the money is.
No doubt. We got Owen, you've been waiting, too. We'll get you in real quick. Owen, what's up?
Hey, man, I really couldn't disagree more. I think his decision to sit out was smart. Even if he only makes $10 million a year, but if it's guaranteed the three-year contract, that's $30 million, which to me, that's better than $17 million. So he comes out ahead.
But you're assuming he
gets
hurt.
As a running back, it's highly likely he gets hurt.
Look at his career. Look at the history of his career and his longevity leading into this season. I don't think it's highly likely he gets hurt. If you're counting on an injury to make the deal valid and validate his decision, that's on you. I don't think it's a smart decision, and I think most NFL people will tell you the same thing based on what we just talked about, purely from a number standpoint, from a financial standpoint.
Like, even if you wanted to make the argument, okay, well, he didn't take a year of wear and tear as a running back, yeah, but he was a year away from football, you know?
There's just a lot of things that this looks like a bad decision. So if you guys want to continue to discuss it, we'll be back tomorrow. Cody will be here for Barry. Nick will be here. But by the way, Cody and I will be at Prime Social up on Westheimer. So stop on by if you're in the neighborhood and play some poker too, because I think AJ, I don't know if Fred's playing, but I'm sure they'll tell you. Lance and those guys will probably all be in the tournament. And if you knock them out, you get some cash too. That'll be a fun time. So we'll see you tomorrow at Prime Social. But either way, we'll hear you on the radio and appreciate you following the show. For Cody and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
This is ESPN 97.5.